2 Corinthians chapter 6 and reading verse 14 begin. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness, and what concord hath Christ with Belial, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. May the Lord God bless the reading of his word this afternoon. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to the throne of grace this afternoon, thanking you so much, Father, for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for the presence of each one. Thank you, Father, that we could come together as one and, Lord, worship you and Father, just learn again from you. Again, Father, we pray that you'd bless our time together. May you move in our midst and help us to feel your presence. And may we remain focused on what you have for us today. Again, Father, may you remove every distraction that we have in our midst. And we pray, Father, that you would always be exalted, glorified, and magnified in our midst. For we commit all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The title of this lesson today, this afternoon, is In This World, But Not Of This World. In This World, But Not Of This World. Let's go to John chapter number 7, please. John, the book of John chapter number 7. John chapter number 7, and I'll be reading from verse 14 to 16. 7:14 says, Now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up to the temple and taught, and the Jews marveled, saying, How knoweth this man's letters, having never learned? Jesus answered them and said, My doctrine is not mine, but he that sent me. Did I say 7? Sorry, John chapter 17. I apologize for that. That's why it didn't make sense. John chapter 17, verses 14 to 16. 14 reads, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. In this world, but not of this world. Some of the common buzzwords you often hear today are tolerance, acceptance, openness, seeker-friendly, and guess what? Inclusive. Now, the idea behind all of these terms is what we call togetherness. Togetherness, or being connected on a human level. Now, there is a concerted push in the world today to bring everyone together in one umbrella. In the same umbrella, and they call it one world, one faith, one religion, one doctrine, and one church. Now, this is the heartbeat of the world today. And sadly so, it is becoming also the heartbeat of the church. The heartbeat of the church. I would just remind you and this afternoon that God did not call his people to be inclusive, but he called us to be exclusive. The fact is this, that we are called to be vastly different. And I say different from the world around us. Now, this trait of separation was sorely lacking in the Church of Corinth. Of all the churches mentioned in the New Testament, guess what? The Church of Corinth was undoubtedly the worldliest. The worldliest. They have all sorts of problems in that church. So if the church in Philippi was known as for its compassion, the church in Ephesus was known of commitment, the church in Corinth was known for its carnality. And sadly so, even in this day and age, a lot of churches are going towards that. Okay? They've changed everything in the churches, their music, their worship. Okay? Almost everything. It was a worldly church dwelling in a wicked city. No wonder. No wonder why the church was worldly. Because they were in a wicked city. Remember Lot? Right? He pitched his tent towards what? Sodom. Right? And if the church, if the city of Corinth was so vile that to be called a Corinthian meant that you were a person of very low moral standards. Now, sadly, the evil of that society had penetrated that church, and things had gotten so bad in Corinth that there was a very little distinction between them, those Christians in Corinth, with the world around them. Now, Paul was letting us know that things do not have to be that way. Now, these verses tell us everything we need to know how to remain separate in this connected world. While the world and the church are mending together so that there is little distinction between them anymore, guess what? God still expects his people to be different. He expects us to stand apart from the world around us, and these verses will just tell us how to accomplish just that. Now, there may be some here who would like to see Anchor Baptist Church become modern and more accommodating to the world. Well, these verses not only tell us how to be different, they show us how we should remain different as well. While most of the churches around us are changing to accommodate the world, guess what? We have some very good reasons to stay in the old paths of righteousness and worship. Now, this afternoon, as the Lord gives liberty, I want us to focus on the thought, being in this world, but not of this world. Now, main point number one, we are to make sensible choices. We are to make sensible choices. In verse 14 and 16, let's go to 2 Corinthians back, please. That's where we will be for the rest of the afternoon. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. 14 to 16, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness, and what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So Paul uses several verbs to make this his argument. Fellowship, communion, concord, part, and agreement. Now, all of these speak something held in common or something shared. His basic argument is that Jesus and his followers have nothing in common with the world. If Jesus and his followers have nothing in common with the world, guess what? What about us? We should have nothing in common as well with the world, right? He points this truth out by revealing three areas in our lives that we need to exercise the right choice. And we need to exercise the right choice, by the way. Letter A, we need to choose to be different in our walk. We need to choose to be different in our walk. Now, the word righteousness has the idea of purity in life. Purity of life, or of that which is pleasing to the Lord. The idea here is that we, as God's children, are to be different from the world in the way we conduct our lives. Philippians 1:27 says, we are not to put on the world, but we are to put on Jesus Christ in front of the world. 1:27. Philippians 1:27, we are not to put on the world, but we are to put on Jesus Christ. And that's, we don't have to explain this verse. It's straightforward, isn't it? Romans 13:14 says, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2 as well, 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And verse 2 says, be not conformed to this world, but what? Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, it's not NIV, by the way. It's still KJV. All right. Let me go there before I misquote the verse. Verse 2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and what? Perfect will of God. Now, conformity, folks, conformity is the enemy of purity. You see, conformity is actually the outside manifestation of what's inside us. Conformity. That's what people see in us. Okay? However, the transformation is what's in us. Now, when we got saved, there has to be an outside transformation which people see in us, and at the same time, there has to be a renewing of the mind. That which people don't see, but it's also renewed, right? When we accept Jesus Christ. So conformity, like I said, is an enemy of purity. Conformity has the idea of being accepted. Folks, children, when they were, especially myself when I was younger, I always wanted to be accepted by my friends, by the group I belong to. Okay? I always wanted to be accepted. And guess what? I conformed to the standard set by the group. I did what they did. And guess what? They didn't do what I did. But I did what they did. And that's conformity. There is a strong pull towards compromise, a compromise of our standards and our commitment towards our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, being conformed to this world is, guess what? It is a choice. It is a choice that Christians exercise, perhaps because of the pressure or need for acceptance. But, folks, it's still a choice. It's up to you. You can say no or yes, right? But I would rather you say no to conformity to the group. Nonconformity, guess what? It's a command that all of us need to follow and obey. The Lord knows exactly what it does to Christians, and that is why we are commanded and admonished not to be conformed to this world. Not to be conformed to this world. So it is a command. There needs to be a difference in our walk with those that are outside of the faith. Now, how did the Lord address this possibility of conformance? In verse 2, in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says there, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So it is through transformation by the renewing of our mind that this is possible. That this is possible. Now, renewing brings about a 180 degree turnabout, right? It brings about a change in our perspective of the world. You see, we are in this world, but we are not of this world. So we need to choose to be different in our walk. Secondly, we need to choose to be different in our ways. Different in our ways. You see, light and darkness can have no fellowship. They can have no fellowship. That's what we read in Second Corinthians, right? Even the tiniest bit of light has the power to dispel total darkness, the most oppressive darkness. Now, what Paul is talking about here is this. A life governed by the Word of God has no shared ground with a life governed by the flesh, the world, and the devil. We are to be different because we are to live our lives according to the Word of God. We have to pattern our lives according to what God says. We, as Christians, have a different standards than they that are of the world, right? Than they do. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, right? So we have a bit of a challenge, though. You see, the Lord has been the same from the old to the new, wasn't he? He's always been the same. He has remained faithful despite our hard-headedness and our hard-heartedness. He promised us that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13, verse 8. Guess what? Our ways have changed. We have changed. Our thinking has changed. Our priorities, our values, our wants and desires, our object of affection has, and our outlook in life have drastically changed. But has the Lord changed? He hasn't. So we have changed. We don't admit that we've changed. When, you know, we're just the people we're just like the people of Malachi, wherein they asked the Lord, wherein have we changed? We are now more comfortable hearing and swearing and cursing and use of vulgarities on TV and radio. And even hearing people around us with limited vocabulary. They have limited vocabulary because, guess what? Every other word that they say is the same word. And it's a curse word. And we seem not to be bothered by it, as we have already been desensitized by it. Now, why is that? Because we live closer to the world. We're not that separate from the world. Now, I said separate, but not isolated. We cannot isolate ourselves from the world because we have to win them to Christ. Right? But we can be separate. We can be separate. Now, why is that? That we're not bothered by it. We're already desensitized. Why is that? Because we have broken down the walls of partition between us and the world. There's no distinction. Right? There's no distinction. Now we talk, we act, and think like the world. Now, we have the light, don't we? We have the light. Let us walk in the light. But beware of the words of men who would add to and subtract from the word of God. Let us avoid legalism. But what is legalism, by the way? Legalism is putting the law above the gospel. That's legalism. Let us avoid modernism. What is modernism? It's a rejection of religious and moral principles in favor of obtaining social progress. Right? So let's avoid legalism, avoid modernism, but let us walk in the pure, living Word of God. Psalms 119, verse 9, it says there, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way?" Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? That's the question. Here's the answer. By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. Psalms 119, verse 9. "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word." So thirdly, we need to choose to be different. We will worship, right? We need to choose to be different in our worship. So Paul reminds us that we are God's possession. Just as there is no common ground between Jesus and the devil, Belial. Belial, by the way, in the Bible, is not necessarily a person, right? But it talks about wicked. It points to wickedness, right? And between one who confesses Christ and who denies him. The idols of the flesh and the world have no business in the temple of God. My friends, let us be reminded that this building, this very building, is not the temple of God. What is the temple of God? We are, right? In 1 Corinthians 3:16, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" In verse 17, "If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are." Which temple ye are. So the things that are important to this world do not belong in our life. Nor do they have a place in our worship of the Lord. Just as our physical life should be clean, so too should be our spiritual life. Now, this speaks volume to the modern church. Our duty is not to make the house of God and our worship here seeker-friendly. Our duty is to consecrate ourselves, separate ourselves to the will of God, and to worship him in spirit and in truth. So, we have no business changing our music. We have no business changing our preaching. We have no business lowering our standards to attract people to the word of to the house of God. A lot of churches do that, right? They change their music. They have drums, guitars, loud music, just so they can attract the world. But that's not how we deal with people, right? That's not how we worship God. We need to create an atmosphere in which the Spirit of God can work, can move and bless. Now, as we do, he will see to it that those he desires to be here will get here. Right? Without necessarily adapting their standards. But if the Lord wills, they'll be here. They'll be saved. And guess what? They will grow in grace. But it's not according to us. Right? All we do is share to them the gospel and let God do the work of saving them. So in verse 15 there, 2 Corinthians 6:15, it says there, "And what concord hath Christ with Belial?" Concord in verse 15 there means harmony. It refers to musicians to play the same music, the same piece of music, the same way, the same time. Now we get our modern word symphony from this word. Just as there is this harmony when a pianist plays Amazing Grace in 3/4 time versus, and then the organist play it in 4/4 time, right? There's this harmony there. So, and at the same time, there is this harmony between Jesus and everything evil. between those that are in the faith and those that are outside of the faith. Now, the whole point is this. God's people are to be different from the world. Why? Because we possess a new nature. Right? 2 Corinthians 7:14 says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. You see, a pig rolls in the mud. A pig rolls in the mud because why? Because he is pig. Right? Because it is pig. Now, you could change this its nature of that of a sheep, and it would shun the mud and head straight for the green grass. Now, if you are saved today, guess what? You have a new nature. It is not like the old nature, but it is different, and it is hungry for the Lord and His will. So, first point, we are to make sensible choices. Secondly, we are mandated by specific commands in verses 14 and 17. This command pertains, we are commanded to be segregated. In verse 14 says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light and darkness? So this command pertains to people. It comes from the Old Testament in Deuteronomy chapter 22 and verse 10, where the ox and the ass are two vastly different animals. The ox was clean, the ass was not. They possess two vastly different natures. To yoke them together is just to invite trouble. The unequal yoke is a military term. It means stay within your ranks. Stay within your ranks. This phrase is usually applied to marriage, and it is wrong to marry outside of your faith if you are saved. But there is more to it than that. It has the idea of not walking with the world. So the believer needs to closely monitor all his relationships, because walking with the world often results in walking like the world. Let me say that again. Walking with the world often results in walking like the world. So we as a church, or shall I say we as a people of God, need to be segregated from people or groups of people that encourages togetherness and unity in every aspect of spirituality. One faith, one doctrine, one church, one religion. Now, why do we need to be segregated? Because that is to avoid contamination. That is to avoid contamination. We have to avoid being influenced by the wrong crowd and avoid sin altogether. Avoid sin, period. Right? Someone has said, in essentials, unity. In non-essentials, liberty. In all things, charity. In essentials, unity. In non-essentials, liberty. In all things, charity. So what they're saying is that we need to work together as one. Okay? That's the theme of those churches and people that have joined together to form a one church, one religion, right? Now, let me ask you this. What do you feel about men going into the ladies' washroom? Remember, they were trying to pass a law that would allow, what do you call this, the LGBTQ, or the transgenders to go use the ladies' washroom. Now, what's stopping perverts from acting like putting on clothes, ladies' clothes, and going to the ladies' washroom. Right? So, what happens if we jump from church to church? You know what? We lose our distinction. And we're in danger of compromising of what we believe in and embracing error altogether. The word church, folks, the word church itself calls for segregation. Look at the definition of the church. What is it? Called out assembly of believers, covenanting to carry out the Great Commission. So, a called out assembly of believers. That alone is segregation. Letter B, we are commanded to be separated. We are commanded to be separated. In verse 17, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. This command pertains to practices. It pertains to practices. Just as we are to refuse to walk with the world, we are also to refuse to walk like the world. Let the world do its thing. We who are saved are to be different. We are a called out as people. We are a called out people, and we are to be different. You see, we are to be separate in our music. This is not listening to rock and heavy metal music, but listening to the wrong Christian music. If it's gospel, is it wrong? Depends. But if it's contemporary Christian music, it's wrong. Why? Letter A, number one, because it's because of its composer and musicians. What they believe in, stand for, and conviction on going towards that one world church. Letter B, because it is worldly, it appeals to the flesh. Some Christian music, when it plays, guess what? You're tapping on your feet like this. Guess what? It's appealing to the flesh. Right? Because CCM is infiltrated with immorality, most of the musicians are actually members of the LGBTQ, right? Because CCM is experience-oriented, because it is ecumenical, because of the direction it's going towards that one-world church, towards establishing a one-world religion. Now, we are supposed to be different as well, separate, in our entertainment. You see, we allow Satan to entertain us even in our own homes. In our own homes, we are being entertained. In our deckers, do you have a wet bar? Do you have nude pictures? Deckers that give people the wrong impression of us. You see, our fashion, it is worldly. Is it worldly? Is it sensual? Ladies, are you attracting men by what you put on? We're supposed to be separate in our speech, cursing, swearing, even sexual innuendos, right? When people around us tell us jokes, dirty jokes, do we laugh at them? Right? So we are to make sensible choices. We are mandated by specific commands. Thirdly, we are moved by satisfying benefits. There is a benefit of his favor. Verse 17, those who walk the separated life have God's promise that he will receive them. The word receive means to treat with favor. Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse 24, it says, there is nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink, and that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw, that it was from the hand of God. Psalm 103 and verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. In the next verse, in Psalm 116:12, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? So there is a benefit of his favor. There is also a benefit of his fatherhood in verse 18. In verse 18 says, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord God Almighty. Now all are the redeemed are the children of God, and he is a father to them. Fourthly, we are motivated to steadfast convictions in 7:1, chapter 7, verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. We are to have that conviction towards a clean lifestyle. We are called upon to cleanse ourselves of all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. Well, the filthiness of the flesh would refer to those external acts of wickedness, and filthiness of the spirit would refer to those internal attitudes of the heart. However, that which we do on the outside is just a symptom of what's in the inside, isn't it? Many people, maybe many of us here, we have confessed the same sins over and over again, and we still go right into it, back into it, and do the same things again. Why? Because we haven't gotten down to the root of the problem. The real problem is not the body, it is the heart. So we have to deal with the heart. You see, the body might be chaste and bridled, while the heart is a hotbed of sin and evil. The body is an inanimate object until it is animated by the will. And friends, whatever is in the heart, it will be carried out by the body. Therefore, we must cleanse ourselves both inwardly and outwardly so that we can have the favor of the Lord. You see, it is not enough for you to ask for cleansing. The words, "let us," are a call for you and I to become actively involved in this process. Wherefore, come out from among you and be separate, in 6:17. In conclusion, are we really expected to remain separate in this connected world? The answer is yes, we are. But we are to be separated, not isolated. You see, we are in this world, but we are not of this world. Remember Jesus, right? Separation does not apply to Christians, but applies to the church as well. It doesn't only apply to Christians, but it applies to the church as well. We are what we call independent church, aren't we? But we are called independent for a reason. Independent from the control of the government, independent from the control of any organization or any external factors that can weaken and the exercise of our mandate that God has given us. If we're not careful, though, we can go down the slippery slope of apostasy. We thank God for Anchor Baptist Church and the leadership of this church that put God first and are committed to obey God and follow his leadings and his direction. So let me stress this fact. Lack of separation leads to misplaced desires. Misplaced desires historically leads to idolatry. Idolatry eventually leads to lose our distinction as God's people. God always has and always is upset when his people lose their distinction. We have to bear this in mind. So our church is becoming secularized. Secularization is the idea of adapting to worldly standards and never focus on the spiritual aspect. We have to be careful and to be sensitive to where we're at and must endeavor to go back to God and tread the road to living as we're called. And we're called what? Christians. And we're called Christians. So let us never be ashamed of the fact that Anchor Baptist Church is out of step with this world. Let us never be ashamed of what we are, what we believe in, and the convictions we hold sacred. So instead, let us strive to ensure it remains that way until Jesus comes. If we begin to lower our standards today, we will soon be no different than the myriads of churches all around that have forfeited the presence and the power of God so that they may gain popularity and the praise of men. You see, folks, what we allow in moderation today, we will do in excess tomorrow.